The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Why should believers be thankful? Jim's working on getting the overhead right. He's working on it. So why should believers be thankful? I mean, is there a reason for us to be thankful? And as I ponder this, and I went back to a passage of Scripture that has always just encouraged my heart, and it's from the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. And let's look at verses 1 through 5. And this is the New International Version. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for preserving this word for us through the ages that we might have it this morning. And dear Lord, as we study and spend time thinking about the coming Thanksgiving holiday, Father, we're thankful to You for all that You've done, all that You're doing, and all that You will do. And we're most thankful, Father, right now at this moment in this place that You are here and that You will teach us the things that we most need in our lives. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanksgiving is a different kind of holiday in that it doesn't commemorate a birthday or a battle or some anniversary. It's just a day that this place called America expresses its thanks to its God. That's pretty good. I mean, of all the holidays you could come up with, I think this is probably way at the top of things that are worthwhile having a holiday for. I want to read you something that was written in the year 1789 by a man that you know well, Mr. George Washington. And he said, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committees requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. So proclaim the very first official Thanksgiving Day. Wow. George, where are you when we need you? Man, what an awesome thing to say. And the amazing part about that is that both houses of Congress recommended that he do it. Where are you congressmen and senators when we need you? You know, there are still voices there, but the voices aren't very loud, evidently, as much as they were in the day of good old George Washington. You know, we say around here so often that we need to get back to the understanding of what our founding fathers intended for this nation to be. And we've abandoned that so much that we're forgetful. We've forgotten where our roots are. So thank God that this has been preserved for us. We seem to have very little trouble proclaiming other holidays. You know, we're all pretty quick to jump on the bandwagon of holidays. But this thing of Thanksgiving, I believe it's an art that we've forgotten. You know, we have so very much that we seem to be incapable of remembering to be thankful for the things that we do have. It's only when those things are stripped from our grasp that we ever begin to lament the loss of those things. We should be thankful for them while we're in the midst of possessing those things of life, the things that God has provided for us. As we study this passage, there's two words that really impressed me. And one of them was the word praise. And I went and looked it up. In Hebrew, it's a word called halah, H-A-L-A-A, H-A-L-A-L. And it means to make a noise. To make a noise. Or to be foolish. And I thought, when's the last time we got that way with God when it came to being praising God? You know, that's what it said to me. To make a noise, to be noiful. We're sometimes just so quiet. Remember I taught y'all to say Yahuwah a couple of years ago, and everybody kind of got into that for a while. It was better than amen. Amen, just so, you know, we're used to hearing that, but a Yahoo, man, that really went over big. In fact, y'all can do that whenever you want. I'll be glad to take it. Thank you. There you go. Love them Yahoos. I think in Hebrew that means praise the Lord, but I'm not sure. Just made that up. The other word, it says, and it doesn't show it in this translation because I used the New International Version, but in the King James and some others, it says, bless the Lord. And that word bless means to kneel. You know, so that we shout and we kneel. You know, and it doesn't matter if we make ourselves foolish when it comes to thanking God and being a part of what the kingdom of God is all about. So just very quickly as I ever do anything around here, let's look at some of the reasons that we should be thankful, okay? And the first is that we need to be thankful because it is here. It is here. It is. Let's look at verse 4 of that Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise, or that's where the word bless really is, bless his name. I quote that all the time. That's one of my favorite scriptures. When I always go to pray, I sometimes feel, you know, that it's not right just to walk in with a list of things that I want. And I'm always mindful is to enter his courts with thanksgiving, enter his gates with praise. Now, what is it? It is a place of worship for God's people. They had a place to go to. Ever think about that? They had a place where they could go to, where they knew that God would be there. And we need to be thankful that it still exists. It is still here. The temple was a physical place where they could go to. And, you know, we kind of miss what that really means. We say, oh, yeah, they went to the temple. You know, I go to church. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Orlando and go to the Holy Land experience, how many of you have seen that in Orlando? Pat's the only one. You need to go. It's really worthwhile. It's worth the trip down there to see that. Forget Disney and, you know, all the other stuff that's down there. Just go see the Holy Land experience and then come home. You know, it'll do you good. But they have music in the background. They have a miniature of what Jerusalem looked like in the day of Christ. And it's done, you know, as accurately as you can do anything based on information that they have today. But they have the temple, and I didn't realize it till I saw this because it's pretty big.
Jim's Holy Land Experience.
The Holy Land Experience. Jim's already there.
Can't control it, though, so I'm gonna leave it alone.
Just leave it alone. You can see how hilly Jerusalem is, but the temple is on a mount. It means it's on a rise. And it's so big that it just overshadows the whole city. So that there was virtually no place you could go in Jerusalem without seeing the temple. It was there. So when they talk about going to the temple, I mean, everybody knew where the temple was. It was one of those cities that you could never get lost in. Because if you knew where the temple was, you knew how to get back to wherever you were. In fact, those of you who have been to Washington, D.C. know that's true, because you can't get lost in Washington, D.C. All you have to do is know where Washington's monument is. You can see it from everywhere. It's a landmark that will always get you back to point zero so you can find your hotel. And I've done it many a time that I've been there. But today, we have not that temple, but the place, it for us, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is still alive and it's still well. It's battered and bruised. It's like a old car my daddy used to have. It's got a bunch of dents in it, but it used to really run. You know, and that's the way the church is. We got some dents and some batters and some bruises, but we're still here and we're not leaving. I don't care who wants us to go, we're not leaving. We're not getting out of this place until the Lord calls us. Those who don't like us just better get used to us, because we're here for the duration. We've got no place to go. And they'll be thanking God for us and wishing we were back if they're here after the rapture, because this is not going to be a very nice place when you take it out of here. Now, the reason that it is still here is that there was a firm foundation that has been laid. And that firm foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, one of the unfortunate things that has happened in our society is not everything that's got a cross on top is a church. Oh, they might call it a church, but it doesn't have a good foundation. It's founded on something else, but it's not founded on the foundation stone, which is Jesus Christ. Where His church is, it will continue on and on and on until He returns. And He came to build that foundation. So that's why it is here. And not only is it here because it has a good foundation, but a great price has been paid to maintain it. You know, we talk so often in the last couple of weeks as we were praying for America, we spoke frequently about to be thankful, as we just remembered Veterans Day, of those who have paid a price for our freedom. Well, there are many who have paid a great price for us to have our place in the church, to keep it here. One of my favorite passages of scriptures, I say that all the time because all of them are my favorites, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 36 and 38, says this: "Some facing jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword, they went about in sheepskin and in goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground." That's just a small percentage of those who paid the price that you and I could be here today and that the church would continue. See, we are living stones built upon that foundation so that the church would maintain itself and still be here. Thank God for the church. You know, one of the things that really, one of my pet peeves is I get so upset with people who say, "Well, I don't need to go to church. You know, I can pray with God at home." Well, doggone it, it's true, but it's wrong. Sure, you can pray with God at home alone. I mean, that's true, but what's wrong about it is it eliminates the gathering together of people who are the church. We are those living stones, and we need to be together, and we need one another. We need the good sheep and the not-so-good sheep. We need the goats to make them sheep. But we need sheep. We need each other. If we're over out by ourselves, we are in dangerous territory. It's very seldom that I know anyone, and I say very seldom because there's always an exception to the rule, but I can't think of anyone I know who claims to be a believer, who doesn't attend church fellowship regularly, who's doing okay spiritually. Because it's this body of believers getting together that encourages one another. It says that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. That's what the church is all about. In fact, the scriptures in Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, why would he say that? Because the manner of some is that they don't assemble themselves together. And we are an assembly. We need each other. And because of it, the church, you know one of the fun things to do? Drive in any town in America. Any town. I will go on record as saying there is no exception to this rule. Go to any town in America, you'll find a church. And if you go down in some of these older towns, you go to City Hall, you know what's usually right within a block of City Hall? First Baptist and First Methodist. Because they were the first. You know, they kind of got the ball rolling in a lot of ways in more contemporary church environments. So the church is there. And it's always a good feeling for me, you know, that no matter what town I go into, that there'll be a body of believers there if I need help. And some of you during Katrina found that to be true, didn't you? You left here and you went to other places, and what did you find? You found the church there waiting for you. People who brought you in, fed you, took care of you, gave you stuff, wouldn't let you pay for anything. There was a story of a guy told me that he was stopped in a service station. He was riding a motorcycle. And let me get it right. He was in a truck. And he stopped to get gas, and he had Louisiana plates in his car. This is, right at Katrina time. And he said he had this really rough-looking motorcycle dude, one of these big old Harley, you know, getting gas. And the guy on the motorcycle walked over and said, "You're from Louisiana?" And he said, "I see your plates." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "We had to leave because of Katrina." And he said he had just built up his tank, and at the time, gas was cheap. It was only like $2 a gallon, like it is now. It wasn't the $4 version. And the guy said, "Let me pay for your gas." He said, "Well, no, I got the money to pay." He said, "No, sir, your gas is free today." And that motorcycle guy bought him a tank of gas. You know, now I don't know if that guy was a believer or not, but I believe he will be, you know, taking care of God's people, you know. So it's the church that does that, and thank God we can be thankful that it's here. If you want to thank God for something, if you have trouble writing something on your little cards, Miss Barbara, just write, "Thank God for the church is here." That's a good reason to be thankful. The second thing is, we need to be thankful because He is here. Let's look at verse 3 of that Psalm 100. "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us." So much for all them people think it's just some kind of protoplasm that crawled out of the slime, all right? It is He who has made us, and we are His. Can you say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
We are His.
Amen.
We are His people. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Man, that is good stuff. You know, men perish for a lack of knowledge. And the thing that sends them into the abyss is the lack of the knowledge of whose they can be. Because that's what He came to do. Thank God that you know Him if you know Him. And if you don't know Him, please, for heaven's sake, for your sake, don't leave this place until you know Him. Make sure that He's in your heart and that His life is coursing in you, like the song we sang earlier today, that, you know, He's inside of us, the Christ in us, that hope of glory. You know, pretty soon, in just a not too distant future, we'll be celebrating Christmas. It'll be here before you know it. Excuse me. And one of the things that I like about Christmas, just a minute, where it says that His name will be Emmanuel.
Amen.
And what does that mean?
God is with us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God with us. Dennis, let me have one of them little throat things that you've been sucking on. I am getting a little tickle in my throat, and I need one of those. Dennis has got these things that are very addicting. I don't know what they are. They may be cocaine for all I know. No, that's not true. They're little throat lozenges, but the thought that God is with us. You know, you ever feel alone? You know, sometimes you just feel alone. You know, one of the worst things that people deal with is loneliness. And one of the problems with like depression, as we were talking about a little earlier, is the isolationism of it all, of being alone. It's so good to know that He is here. He is in the earth. Christ is here. Emmanuel has come. And it said, when Jesus left physically, He said, it's better for you that I leave. Because if I leave, I will send the Comforter who will be with you and in you. And that His presence in us is what gives us our sense of well-being. And we don't have to be alone ever again. Whether it's in the middle of the night, whether it's the worst phone call you ever got, no matter what's happening in your life, God is with us. And we can give thanks for that. I got a little video that I want to show you about thanking God. And Jim's going to crank that up right now. Isn't that good? I like that. But you don't have to thank Him for everything all at once. I love that. Just start where you are and be thankful for Him in you. Hallelujah. The third thing I want to talk to you about is to be thankful because we are here. Let's look at verse 5. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Hallelujah. Thank God that He's always had a people and that we're willing to receive any sinner who wants to come home. That's why the theme of this church is come home, all is forgiven. That's a hallmark of who we are, that anyone could come and that we would be here to receive them. The church has been here for all generations, and the church will be here for all generations until the Lord returns. Because we are here. You know, there was a story I heard a long time ago about a little boy who was in his room, and he was crying. And his mother tried to get him to quiet down, and he just wouldn't quiet down. It was in the middle of the night. And he said, I'm afraid. And his mother said, you don't need to be afraid. Jesus is with you. And it was quiet in the little boy's room, and she figured that had done the trick. And she heard the little voice come back and said, but Mom, I need somebody with skin on. Don't we all? You know, this is probably theologically incorrect. I probably get an F in my theology class in seminary. But it's not enough that God loves me. I need people to love me. And Christ in you loving me reflects the love of God. I know God loves me because you love me. I know God will forgive me because you'll forgive me. I know God will teach me because you'll teach me. I know God will be with me because you're with me. Thank God that we are here. Amen. We often, you know, wonder, what can I do in the kingdom? You know, I can't preach and I can't teach and I can't dance and I can't sing. You don't need to be any of those things. What you really need to do is just be there. When somebody needs a hand to hold, a shoulder to cry on, a pat on the back, a hoorah when they need a hoorah, and I'm with you when things are bad. That's what we really need. We so desperately need each other. And I thank God that we're here, that I'm not alone. How horrible that would be to have God and not have you. You know, that's the one of the good things about heaven, is we not only get to see God, we get to see each other. And we'll get to know everybody else. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm already trying to get my reservation in line to talk to some of the people in heaven that I want to talk to. There's some people I want to meet. I want to talk to them. I want to talk to old Moses and David and Joshua and, you know, the whole litany. I want to talk to Paul. Paul, I really want to talk to. Because, Paul, you said some stuff that really blows my mind than everybody else's mind. But I want to talk to my grandpappy. I want to see him and talk to him. I want to see mom and dad again. I want to see my little sister that I never got to see, who didn't live but just an hour or so when she was born. I'm looking forward to seeing her. So that's what heaven's like. It's an assembly of people. And we, the church right here, are a picture, a microcosm of heaven, really. Together we build this thing called the living body of Christ, and we loving on each other and caring for each other, looking past those of you who have faults, and having to live with us faultless people. You know? Yahoo! What a thing, you know? But isn't it great? My wife is getting too many yahoos down here. That we can love one another with all of our faults and all of our shortcomings and say, it's okay. You don't have to think like I think and do like I do. Let's just hug each other and be each other in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's really all about. The church stands as a body, not as a wall. We stand as a body, not as a wall. We're not excluding anyone. We've got the gates wide open and say, come on in. We're in here. We're waiting for you. And if necessary, to go outside the walls to bring them in to a safe haven. That's what we do. That's what the church does. You know, I think sometimes we get wrapped up in and say, well, we need to go win some souls for Jesus. Well, that makes sense to inside the church. But how's about just go find somebody who's all beat up and bruised and battered and needs a friend. Amen. And bring them in. I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday who's been in Europe, in both East and Western Europe for the last 15 or 16 years. And he was telling, we were talking about winning Muslims to the Lord. He said, you're never going to win those guys to the Lord with confrontational gospel. He said, the way you win Muslims to the Lord is to be their friend. He said, you know how you know when they're your friend? He said, they're such an argumentative bunch. And if you say it's black, they say it's white. If you say it's dark, they say it's light. You know, whatever you bring up, he said, but you know you've gotten through to them when they stop arguing with you and they start agreeing with you. And he said, that's what we do in the kingdom, is we live it with them so that they will hear it. And you know, that's really the best way to bring people into the kingdom. Just to be a friend, to go down to New Orleans in the Ninth Ward and give out food, you know, to go here in church and give out food, to go to your neighbor and be friendly. I thought it was so neat the other day when we had that fellowship over at the Piazza's house, that they had invited, I think, three or four of their neighbors, and they just moved into that neighborhood. And they showed up. Every one of them told Gina when she just went and knocked on the door. Hi, my name is Gina. She's so cute, she'd get away with it anyway. Hi, my name is Gina, and we live over there, and we're having a housewarming party. Would you like to come? And everybody was busy. So, well, I got this to do and that to do. And you know what happened? They all showed up. Because they got to thinking, I guess, about that sweet little gal inviting them to their house to do something. And that's what's reaching out. How many of us know our neighbors? You know what I know. We can all bite our fingers and say, yeah. Well, that hurts, because it's true. We don't know our neighbors well enough. That's reaching outside the wall and bringing them in, bringing them in. We need each other to celebrate with on the good days. I love to celebrate. I love good things. I love to celebrate. I love babies being born. You know, Jamie's doing a good job back there with little Sierra. I love her being born, and, you know, just new kids. I just love it when the Brothersons brought the little Gracie in, you know. I love it. We got a pregnant lady here this morning, you know, brought a baby. I hadn't seen the baby yet, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, just bringing times of celebration, whether it's a birthday, whether it's like Miss Liz, thanking God. She's had 82 wonderful years of serving the Lord. Man, I tell you what. Pick a model, I want to grow up to be like Miss Liz. I mean, she's been serving the Lord since I've known her, and what a imagery she brings to the kingdom of God. Thank God for Liz's and the other Liz's of the world to celebrate with people. But you know, we need each other to cry with, because there's some bad things happen in life by our measure of things, and to be able to cry with, What a privilege when somebody lets you cry with them. When you can be there. And I've had the privilege of being with some of you in the worst hours of your lives. And I've been there with you. And to be in that precious moment is to be a part of the family of God. And to cry and not know what to say, to not have any great words, to not know the right scripture or quote, but just to be there and to weep and to cry and to have your tears mixed with the tears of someone you love on their cheeks. What a privilege that is that we're still here to be able to do that. To be able to pray. When somebody says, "Will you pray about this?" And no matter how minuscule or foolish it seems, you know, some of our prayers and the things we want to pray for are not that important in the great scheme of life. But in the kingdom, they're important. When you're praying for somebody who's not feeling good, well, you know they're going to get better. They don't have a life-debilitating disease, but they just want to feel better. Somebody who's got a kid who's not doing good in school, and they want you to pray for little Johnny or little Susie or whoever it may be. And to be there to pray for little things, and then to be there to pray for the big things too, when you don't know how to pray. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons God gave us the gift of tongues, that we could pray and intercede when we don't know how to pray in English. Paul said, "I pray with the understanding and I pray in the spirit too." He said, you know what he's saying? Sometimes I just don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. But that's what we're here to do. That's what this morning, I just love what we did, a spontaneous move of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Ms. Gail said, believe in that we should do that, and everybody responded. Man, just to pray with you. That's the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for, to suffer with each other. If the economy keeps going the way it's going, we're going to be doing a lot of suffering with each other, you know. We might have to share food. I want to share Miss Barbara's house. She's a good cook, you know. I want to share Miss Bobby's house, you know. If I'm gonna pick the others, Miss Gail's house, you know. I haven't shared. You haven't cooked me a meal, Sherry. You need to cook me a meal if I want to be there. But really, just to when hard times come, to be together with one another. It was experienced 9/11. It was so good that we could get together as a body of believers, you know. It was so precious when, you know, the hard things of life happen and we gather together and we suffer through things together, even like the great storm that went through this area. And we're there with each other to correct and to encourage. Sometimes we need correction. Okay, everybody likes correction. Raise your hand. We got a couple of volunteers. Thank God some of you are spiritual. No, nobody likes to get encouraged, told you're doing something wrong. I hate it. Don't tell me I'm doing something wrong because I'm perfect. We feel that way. We feel that way. But, you know, that's what we're here for. You know, the scriptures tell us that. You see a brother who's in trouble? Just go tell him. In love. You don't go over there to somebody and point your finger in there. You got to get your act together, otherwise you're going to bust hell wide open. Well, you just lost that person. They're never getting anywhere with that. But when you show up and you say, hey, you know, maybe there's some things that we could work on together. Sometimes we don't see what we need, and we need some help to see those things that we need in our lives. So to correct and to encourage. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. Everybody need encouragement. Raise your hand. Yeah. All right. Yep. I see all those hands. We need to be encouraged. I need somebody to tell me I preach a good sermon every once in a while. Amen. I'd like to hear it. I look forward to it. I'm telling family secrets here, but whenever Pat and I, we usually leave here, we go to lunch with some of you guys, you know, and we get in the car and we're driving and I'm just kind of waiting for Pat to say, that was a good sermon, you know. Well, if Pat tells us a good sermon, it's all right. If I don't have a good sermon, you know, a good attaboy from her, I know I really blew it, you know. But really, I mean, just to be encouraged about things in life. Hey, your hair looks good. Hey, I really like what you did the other day. Oh, that was so neat, you know. And just to encourage one another. That's what the church does. Building one another up. That's what we're here to do. Thank God we are here. I want to close with this one thing that I read from a guy by the name of Alex Haley. Everybody here knows who Alex Haley is? He's the guy who wrote Roots. Most of you didn't read the book. You saw the movie, and I'm one of those. But he had an unusual picture hanging in his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked, why is that there? Alex Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at that turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. Man, I'd like to get that picture. I need that picture. I need that picture bad. See, we need each other badly. We can't make it alone. That's why it talks in the scriptures about leaving the 99 and going after the one. To bring in as many as we can back into the fold. One day in the very near future, and I think it probably won't be until after the first of the year, the Lord gave me a vision. Of course, it was sometime at 4 o'clock morning range, you know by now. And it's about this church. And it will encourage you. But I'm not ready to share it yet because it's still in me. In fact, I've got it written down right here. It's 3 pages of it. And I don't normally do this. And the thing that's remarkable about it, when the Lord showed it to me, that he told me to write it down. Because he knows I'm getting older. And I don't remember as well. So I quickly whipped out my computer, because I can't write very well. And I wrote it down. And probably in January, I think during our fast, I'll show you this with you. Because I think during our fast, that's going to build us up to be better able to receive what I'm about to give you. And it's really, really a good word, okay? And anybody who's not here when I do read it, we'll tell them about it. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you, Ms. Walker, for those little cards. We're going to use those. We'll use those in Florida. By the way, for those of you who don't know, I'll be leaving. Pat and I will be leaving in the morning to drive to Florida to visit with Tiffany. We'll be going for 10 days. I know you don't like this guy, but I managed to find Robbie to come and preach for you when I'm not here. And those of you who heard Robbie know he's worthwhile coming to hear. So he's all pumped and excited, so he'll be here. And like I said, this Wednesday we won't have services. The following Wednesday we're going to have the movie, and I'll be back for that. Hopefully I'll be back for the Wednesday movie, unless Tiffany talks me into staying an extra day or so. But our plan is to be back. If you have an emergency, we put some information in the bulletin. You can call, I think I put Jim's name, and I think I put Mike's name. Okay, I know somebody's name I put. I knew they had cell phones and that they were able to answer during the day. So if anything comes up, you can reach them. Of course, you have my cell number. You can always reach me. But don't call me unless it's an emergency. No, I'm kidding. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you come here each week and be a part of my life. So let's all stand. By the way, you can cut off the recorder.